Today on Rockin' the Suburbs,
we kick off another special countdown week.
This one is focused on one of the UK's greatest and most influential artists.
All right, I love Steve Hillage.
All right, Patrick, this is super exciting. We have done this, these countdown episodes a few times before in different formats. So let me just run that down real quickly here for the listeners and introduce ourselves. The show is Rockin' the Suburbs. I am here in my basement in the suburbs of Washington, D.C., and you are also in those same suburban area, that same suburban area in your respective basement, right, Patrick?
That's correct. I'm Patrick Foster, and I am here in the suburbs, a little bit away from Jim, but definitely in the same greater suburban area of Washington.
And I'm Jim Lenihan, and we are so happy to have all of these guests here. Yeah, I can see them on this video screen. If you're listening to the podcast, obviously you can't see that, but we have a full screen of listeners who are hanging out with us today as we record this countdown. So the way this is going to work, I mentioned we've done countdown weeks in the past. We did, let me see if I have this right. We did Beatles. We did Led Zeppelin.
Yep.
Replacements.
Yep.
The Who and Prince. Yes. I think that's it, right? And today we're going to do David Bowie, this week will be David Bowie. And in the past, you know, we did them in different formats. We had countdowns where just like you and I and maybe a couple other people were together discussing the various songs. We did a live event, literally a year ago. Right now was like the last live
almost
event
exactly
in world history and in world recorded history was the last time people gathered together, and that was for the Who show. And then and then when we did the Prince one a few months ago, we did it like this virtual event where we invited people via Zoom to come in and talk. And so the way this is going to work is we're going to count down the top 15 David Bowie songs. I'll get to how that works in a minute here, and then people will have an opportunity to talk about songs that they like. Speaking of the listener poll we did, Patrick, is this the most votes we have received? We had 61 listeners who voted for David Bowie songs. They presented their top 10 list, not in any particular order, but just 10 songs.
Right.
And in those lists, a total of 97 songs got at least one vote, right?
That is correct. That is the most votes we've had and the most different songs that were voted for in one poll.
Okay, so should we get to the countdown here?
Yeah, let's jump in. I will say one thing, Jim. The music critic, or one of them for The Guardian, I'm not exactly sure how to pronounce his name, Alexis Petridis, did actually about a year ago did a Bowie list, 50 great Bowie songs, and what he wrote here I think is worth mentioning. I mean, it seems somewhat obvious to me, but he wrote it in a lot better way than I did, basically saying picking Bowie's 50 best songs is a thankless task. I think it goes for the top 10 as well. His back catalog is so rich you inevitably end up having to lose tracks every bit as good as those you picked. So just saying that, I think, you know, it's kind of a general sort of disclaimer. This was really, really hard. For me, the hardest one we've done because of the wide variety of styles, sounds, and eras, and the length of Bowie's career.
I totally agree with that. I know that when I was putting together my top 10 list, it was very, very difficult, and I could easily make another top 10 that would probably be just as worthy, right? So I'm sure we're going to hear that from other people as well. And I should also say, too, before we get into revealing the top 15, is that we're doing this particular artist, too, by listener demand. There were a lot of people who, when we did the other countdown shows, really wanted us to do David Bowie. And I think it speaks not only to his appeal and his impact and sort of the passion listeners have for his music, but also I think people wanted to showcase Bowie in a countdown because they're really curious, like, how people are going to vote, because the catalog is so vast and there's so many, like, sort of different eras of music, and how does that all come together and what do people like? So, all right. So let's see what came in here at number 15. Don't you wonder sometimes about some vision? Okay, Sound and Vision comes in at number 15, and I noticed people are already saying in the chat we're off to a good start here, so that makes me happy.
Yeah.
Patrick, you had some strong thoughts about this song when we texted earlier in the week.
I'm really glad this made it in the top 15, because for me, this would be in my top three, probably, Bowie songs. I think number one, and we heard the clip we heard there, right, was kind of near the middle of the song, right?
Right.
Because it's a song where you don't hear Bowie's voice until about halfway through,
right?
Which is kind of wild, right, for a Bowie song, and it just that irresistible pull of the guitar and kind of the bass, and to me it puts together you know, some of the 70s era and a little bit foreshadows what was going to happen in the 80s. And this came out in 1977, and it was a single. And I think the song's on Low, I believe.
Yeah.
And, you know, that guitar and that synthesizer, you know, putting it together, and then that very Bowie-esque vocal that comes in is a magical kind of combination. I just love the way it snaps. I mean, you can't help like sort of sashaying a little bit when you hear this song. And I love it because for one thing, I love those three albums that I kind of think of together, Low and Lodger and, you know, kind of the Berlin stuff and that whole sound. And you know, to me, it feels very much like Bowie, but it's not like you can instantly say, oh, okay, this is, you know, from the 70s, Ziggy period, or it's definitely off of the, you know, the slim sort of modern love kind of Bowie, you know, the later period Bowie, but it has elements of both of those. That's one reason I really like this song, and it's jamming, man. It totally is.
It is. It has one of the best grooves.
It
not
really
only
does.
Of any Bowie song, but probably of any pop song. I mean, it just like, and I think that speaks to the fact that you don't hear any vocals until, like I said, at least a minute and a half or so into
crazy.
The song, and yet it holds your attention through all of that. And I think that's a difficult thing to do.
And that is Eno playing synthesizer there. So it was kind of during that Eno period.
Anyone have any thoughts on Sound and Vision? Scott Boykin, you had an interesting comment here in the chat.
Huh. Yeah, I was just going to say that in music history, I think that David Bowie probably had 1977 year. It's probably the greatest in rock history.
Mm.
I mean, he released Low as well as Heroes and also produced Iggy Pop's The Idiot and Lust for Life.
Great point.
I can't imagine somebody else having a better 12 months than that.
You're right.
I mean, it's just incredible that much music within a 12-month time frame is just, it's unbelievable. I mean, most artists today, I mean, you're lucky to get a record, you know, every 3 to 4 years. Bowie had his stamp on 4 albums.
That's
in 1977
amazing.
Alone.
That's amazing.
I can barely just, like, get up every day for a year, let alone, you know, deal with, you know, work on, like, 4 great albums. That's, you know,
that's right.
Beyond my scope of our abilities here.
Try a little cocaine.
Yeah. Let's see about number 14 here.
and when, although I wasn't there. He said I was his friend, which came as some surprise. I spoke into his eyes. I thought you died alone, a long, long time ago.
Okay, The Man Who Sold the World. I want to ask this question, which is, you know, how much of a bump do you think this song gets from that whole Nirvana unplugged thing?
Pretty big one.
Yeah.
I think. I definitely think that people may not have even known it was a Bowie tune, you know, until that was pointed out by their performance, the famous performance on MTV's Unplugged. And the subsequent, very high selling album that it appeared upon. And maybe I've gone back and done that, that homework and found the original version. It's an unusual song, I think, in the sense that it's got that really, really distinctive guitar riff, which, if my research is correct, it was the first time Mick Ronson appeared, along with Mick Woodmansey on a Bowie record. And obviously they were two of the cornerstones of the Spiders from Mars. So 1970, it goes pretty far back. Bowie was just coming out of his, you know, kind of early Davy Jones mod, English pop kind of period and starting to really find himself. It's a striking song. That circular guitar riff, you know, is pretty amazing. And it's stripped down so you can see where it would really fit a band like Nirvana. And I'm certain it turned, you know, a lot of younger people onto Bowie for sure, who, you know, may not have had as much experience in life as older people like ourselves did at that time in the 90s.
Yeah. So Phil says here, this was a deep cut, but not anymore. So meaning, Phil, you agree with that, that's it sort of got that boost in the early 90s?
Yeah, absolutely. This wasn't even on my radar as a song, because I started, you know, listening to Bowie in the late 70s, really. And so this song really just popped into consciousness for me very, very, very late in his career, you know, after Modern Love, after all the big hits.
And Stephen Routledge, who is joining us from the UK, I think you said here in the chat that just missed your top 10, right, Stephen? But you think that this song has a lot of 60s influence.
Yeah, because interesting, because as an album as a whole, you know, it's sort of almost proto-heavy metal in places, but listen to that song there. Yeah, you got the, whatever it's called, the scraper that you used to have in a school music class, you know. You got that going on. But then you listen to that bass line where you go, dun, 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 dun. That's very, like, sort of McCartney-esque music hall kind of feel, hangover from the 60s, which you don't get in once he gets more into the 70s, you know. So it kind of does act as that bridge between sort of the early and then sort of the prime days, you know.
All right. Let's go to number 13.
I'm an alligator. I'm a mama, papa coming for you. I'm a space invader. I'll be a rock and rolling bitch for you. Keep your mouth shut. Just walk alive.
Thank you. Okay, Moon Age Daydream, and I have some thoughts on why I think this is so popular. We'll get to that in a little bit, but first I want to turn to Mackenzie Crenshaw, who has some comments about this particular album that this song is on.
Yeah, me and my friends have been doing an album club during like this whole pandemic situation, but we listened to Ziggy Stardust this week, and they're definitely much more contemporary minded. Like, they like contemporary pop music, they like hip hop, but they loved this album, like absolutely loved it from start to finish. And so I think that that really just like speaks, I think, to the longevity that Bowie is going to have, that like 22-year-olds now are like, yeah, this is awesome. Like, this is so weird. I don't know what's going on, but it's awesome. Like, I think that that's one of the appeals of David Bowie, especially like the first time you're really listening to him, is like, what is going on?
That's cool. That's very interesting.
I do think that this particular song got a boost from being in Guardians of the Galaxy. That soundtrack was really popular a few years ago. And this, I believe, was kind of a, correct me if I'm wrong, peoples, this was kind of a deep cut Bowie song, right? And I think it became more popular or got more exposure from that movie.
Yeah, I think so too. And I'll tell you one thing about this song, and you know, that movie obviously had, you know, an awesome mixtape in it, right? That was kind of one of the cool sidelines, and it had a lot of cool guitar driven songs on there. One of the people who voted in this poll, my friend David Bishop, the Bish, he submitted his ballot with the name Arnold Korns. And I was like, that's just the Bish being stupid, you know, like being goofy and all that. I had no idea that Bowie was in a band called Arnold Korns until I was researching this song. It was formed in 1971. I guess it was a very short-lived band. And it kind of a side project. So I had no idea about that. And all these people that voted for Moon Age Daydream, man, thanks, because that's kind of an unknown little corner of pop music history I didn't know about. And if you go on Spotify, there is a good playlist. If you search Arnold Korns, it'll come up somewhere, and it's got a whole bunch of those tracks. It's pretty neat. And this is one of the songs that he recorded with them, and then later re-recorded. And that's the version we all know is the re-recording.
Got it. I also love too in this song how it has a great sort of breakdown at one point in the song, you know, with the different instrumentation. So, and it really shows some complexity, I think, to the arrangement and the writing. Tim Hoffman has a comment.
Yeah. Thanks. Jim, you mentioned that breakdown, like in the middle, it's got the instrumentation, and also, I mean, it's like one of my favorite parts of that song is just the kind of echo that they played on that was, you know, used on Bowie's voice when it's like freak out, ow, ow. And there's like a lot of that in there that really makes that song. I think this is one of those songs that, you know, that Patrick was talking about from the music journal, where they had written, like, you know, for every song, David Bowie song that you put in the top 10, there's another one that you love just as much that you couldn't include in the top 10. And so this was one of the songs, like, thinking back now, like, I can't even remember if I put this in my top 10, because I was probably just like, oh man, there's this other song. And I,
right.
Yeah, this, and,
you
I
did
tried
not,
to,
by like, the way.
But I did not see.
You did not. No.
It almost made me think when I was putting this top 10 together, like, I want to put a top 10 of like the songs that I think a lot, everyone's going to like, go like, heck yeah, that belongs in the top 10. And then this other top 10 of like, these are my like deep cut top 10s. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe someone else might not pick. Maybe I'm the only one, but I still love that song. Last thing I want to say about Moon Age Daydream that I love so much is just like right out of the gate, like, the way the song opens, like whenever I hear the song in the car, wherever, like if I hear it, I might be at work. I hope not, you know, but I might be. And they like, I'm an alligator. Like, you can't, it's hard to not sing along to that at the beginning. It's like, it just makes that song. I love this song. See, and I didn't put it in my top 10. What does that say about me?
But this is a hard exercise.
I think we could all use a good Moon Age Daydream at work, Tim. I think that,
yeah,
you know, we need that sometimes. Where's Bob Peterson? Is Bob Peterson on?
Yeah, I'm here.
There
I'm
we
not,
go.
I don't have my video up because I'm at work, so I really shouldn't be on this. But
you are at work with a Moon Age Daydream.
Yeah, yeah.
So you mentioned here this is your number one.
It is, because for me personally, this is the thing that got me into Bowie. I was about in kindergarten when Ziggy came out. My brother is 10 years older and listened to this song all the time. And he would actually wake me up in the middle of the night to watch like Midnight Special and you know, Don Kirshner's rock concerts. But I remember seeing clips of Bowie dressed up as Ziggy on stage, and that persona just freaked me out. I was already kind of getting acclimated to rock and roll, like, you know, even like the Beatles with long hair and the Stones were dangerous, but Bowie was just another freak. And then Moon Age Daydream just captures that whole Ziggy persona, that big glam rock space alien rock star. And you can imagine what that does to the mind of a five-year-old. It just blew my mind. And, you know, I've come back and forth with Ziggy over years, but it's still one of my favorite albums. But this song, I mean, I could put all the songs on Ziggy Stardust as my favorite, but this is the one, like, that last listener mentioned. You know, it's just so grand in the way it hits you. And then the Mick Ronson guitar solo at the end just takes you to another dimension. And this was, you know, my perception of what rock and roll was before MTV, where you couldn't see it. You had to imagine it. And then when you did see it, it just blew you away. There's so much mystique and glam to David Bowie. It just blew my mind. And every time I hear it, it still blows my mind. I can't believe after 50 years, it still has that same effect on me. So that's why it's my favorite. And maybe it's because I don't hear it on the radio all the time, like Suffragette City or Ashes to Ashes or Fashion or something like that. Those are great songs, and I respect, I love all those songs, but this is the one that really gets me.
Very cool.
Great comments.
It's super great.
I like that you mentioned Space Alien. Obviously, this is, you know, Ziggy Stardust album, so that's part of the theme, but this is the first in this countdown where we get sort of the mention of anything sort of celestial, with the moon, you know, Moon Age. Yep. And I think you're going to see that as a regular theme in his music, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right. Across the week. Yeah.
Okay, Patrick. So we're going to cut the episode for today right there.
Okay.
Sounds good. So that was numbers 15, 14, and 13 on the countdown. And although we recorded, obviously, this Zoom session in one big session with the peoples, we're going to split it up and you're going to hear three songs each day this week. That's how it's going to work. Yep. All right.
Right. It's, okay. It's like one of those sitcoms, you know, where it's to be continued. So that's what'll right. happen tomorrow.
Very special Rock in the Suburbs.
Very special Rock in the Suburbs.
Okay. So tune in all this week as the David Bowie countdown continues. And, if people have further comments on Bowie, you can send that our way. You can call and leave a message, and we'll put your voice on an upcoming show. That number is 612-440-1984.
Right.
Or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram at Suburbs Pod. I'm sure there'll be some lively discussion there, especially as the countdown continues.
Absolutely.
Or send us an email, rock@suburbspod.com. All right.
Right.
Tomorrow, numbers 12, 11, and 10. All right. It's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And we'll talk to you tomorrow. Jim Petrillo is doing some kind of dance. The music's not playing right now.